wrote it himself, of course, so hello there. Across our part of the world, it is Thursday night with me, Russell Walker. Your nighttime friend, as I've decided to start calling myself. Yeah, good stuff coming up tonight. Where in the world is Andy Mossack? A roving travel reporter is somewhere in this globe of ours. I've no idea where he is, but I have two clues. So I definitely need your help. You're much better at this than I am. Me, you know, I'm a bit thick, so you always manage to spot where he is, so... First clue on the way in about a half hour, then the man himself will be on after 11 o'clock, should be good. Final two from the classic album, much Kay Crutzen with the updated weather. And as promised, of course, your first clue for where in the world is Andy Mossack. He'll be here in 20 minutes. Here's the clue. Ilha Formosa is how Portuguese explorers called this island 600 years ago when they first saw it from their vessels. It means beautiful island, but it is not anywhere near Portugal. Since then, it's been occupied by the Dutch, the Chinese, and Japanese. Ilha Formosa is what the Portuguese explorers called it 600 years ago, means beautiful island, it's nowhere near Portugal, and since then, occupied by the Dutch, the Chinese, and Japanese. Where in the world is Andy Mossack? I need your help. It's safe to say. 0345 303 3333. If you think you know where he is, 81333, and Russ at the start of the teletext, even if you just put the country down and your name, where in the world is he? Another clue in about 10 minutes and the man himself in 20. Love is King. Thursday night, 10 past 11. So you've had your first clue for where in the world is Andy Mossack. He'll be somewhere in the world. Ilha Formosa is how the Portuguese call where he is. It's nowhere near Portugal. Since been occupied by the Dutch, the Chinese, and the Japanese. Do you want your second clue? I did promise it, didn't I? I think I did. Talked to the man himself about 10 minutes, but it officially had the tallest building in the world in its capital up to 2010, when the one in Dubai took over that prize. But with 101 floors above ground and 5 floors underground, it's still a remarkable building. So it did have the world's tallest building up to 2010. 101 floors above ground, 5 underneath. Remarkable building. So those are your two clues. Big building and Isla Formosa is what it was called. 81333. And Russ at the start of that message. Where in the world is the man here? So Gordon, in Wakefield. Hello there, Gordon. Is he in Goa? Oh, in India. Do you know, I think that's a good guess. I think it might be a bit further east than that, though. I'm trying to think about the early sort of Portuguese explorers, because the Portuguese were a huge naval power. So I'm trying to figure out where they would be on that, I think. Goa is a good idea. Robert in Scarborough. Where in the world? I'm wondering if Andy may be in Taiwan. Taiwan. And for situations... Oh, yes, of course. Taiwan's a good bet. 0345-303-3333. You've heard the clues. I've really no idea. So far, I've got Goa, I've got Taiwan. Which one... I mean, you might think it's somewhere else entirely, but... Russell Walker Show at bbc.co.uk. It's Jem. Hello, Jem. You're going for Kuala Lumpur on the email there. Graham and Keith, this is where in the world is Andy Mossack. We'll find out, I'm sure, in a second. But when I was now but a lad, writes Graham, in the 50s, we'd moved on from Bakelite and looked forward to ever so colourful plastic toys made by the million, which always seemed to be stamped on the bottom, made in Taiwan. Kuala Lumpur. Is Andy in Kuala Lumpur? Says Steve in Manchester. Is Andy in Taiwan? Says Graham in Craig. Taiwan, says Kat in Huddersfield. Do you know what? It's high time we spoke to the man himself, don't you think? 20 past on a Thursday night. Where in the world is Andy Mossack? I think I've made a decision on this one, but let's have a quick chat with him. Hello, Andy.
Hey, Russ. How are you?
I'm not too bad, my friend. I'm not too bad at all. Now, gauging the clues that you had and the many answers that we've had tonight, I'm going to go with the majority here because I have genuinely no idea myself. I am going to say you're in Taiwan.
Well, bullseye, very good.
Yes.
All those people out there. Yes, good man, good man. The lovely island of Taiwan. Yes.
Now, this is a place with a long, rich,
and ever so slightly complicated history.
Oh, yes.
But
so, I've been trying to get my head around it.
So what are you doing there, Andy? What's kicking off?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, I feel very privileged this week because it is... I'm taking part in the Lantern Festival here.
Wow.
And this is an event which really signifies the sort of beginning of the new year, because obviously you know it's the Chinese New Year.
Mm-hmm.
It's the year of the goat this year.
Right.
But they celebrate it at the beginning of the year with this fantastic festival called the Taiwan Lantern Festival. And really, all the villages and towns and cities all over this island celebrate with different types of lanterns. And, we went to a place, for instance, it was magnificent, a little place called Pingxi.
Right.
Which, by the way, CNN reported as being one of the 52 most worthy annual events to go and see. And it's sky lanterns. You know, these wonderful things we have at weddings these days where you light a little, it's a paper lantern, but you put a... You light it up inside, yeah, and it rises up into the sky.
Yeah, it's like a small firelighter attached underneath, and it floats away.
Absolutely brilliant. Floats away, yeah, very romantic. Well, they have this this guy here. He's an amazing guy, Mr. Jimmy, and his 86-year-old grandmother, who started building these impressive ones. They're like, they're over maybe 10 foot in height.
Wow.
And you write your own messages on them. And then you just kind of just hold them all, and they float up into the night sky. Really, really lovely. And he spent 20 years putting into the most optimum way to fly these things. You know, they put their life's work into it. His grandmother started it, and he's taken over the business. Quite remarkable, really. Fantastic. And it's been a sort of a week of discovery, really, going all these different types of lanterns. You know, because you think a lantern is just a kind of a typical kind of shape.
Yeah.
Well, we went last night. 50,000 people were here in Taichung City, which is about 200 miles away from Taipei, the capital. And it's a bit like every city is awarded every year. A city is awarded the place to have this massive festival, you know, the sort of beginning of the Lantern Festival, so to speak.
Wow.
And it kicks off in a stadium. And there's 50,000 people here, and there are literally just thousands of different types of lanterns shaped in all different types of things, like characters and animals. And,
yeah.
It's remarkable, Russ. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And it lit up with this huge goat lantern, which was gold. It is the shape of a golden ram. Massive. Wow. Thing, 23 metres high.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and we were sitting there. Okay, you know, we were very privileged to be near the president and the mayor when this thing lit up. But they kind of did this massive countdown where everyone's, you know, sort of speaking backwards in Chinese, and then the place erupted. It was all in darkness, and the place erupted with lasers and everything, and they just went wild. It was
good, man.
It was brilliant, Russ. I was so privileged to be there. It was brilliant.
So I imagine, aside from the lanterns and the spectacle of the lanterns, you've had the chance to sort of sample a bit of life in Taiwan, and because obviously it's an important time of the year, there must be, you know, all sorts of, I'm imagining special food, maybe special ceremonies and lots of other things going on the periphery of all this that you've been indulging in as well.
I have. I've been getting to it. It's the first time I've been here. And it has been eye-opening, really, because of this complicated political structure. I mean, it is called the Republic of China.
Hmm.
Although the People's Republic of China, you know, are still debating about its independence. So it's not technically an independent country yet. But it's a fascinating place because it is a mix of Japanese and Chinese cultures. I've been kind of indulging in what I can say a nice bit of food, yeah? Nice spicy and non-spicy. So if you like Chinese sort of Sichuan, you've got a bit of spicy there.
Ooh, luxury. Luxury.
Yeah. Yes. Tofu, dumplings. But I found out again yesterday, another revelation. Have you ever had bubble tea?
No, I've never had bubble tea.
Well, it's kind of a quite trendy nowadays, particularly with the young kids. Bubble tea is the fashion thing. And it started here in Taiwan.
Good Lord.
Amazing. Yeah, I was in a story because this chap called Chun Shui Tang, in 1983, he was on a trip to Japan and he was desperate for some kind of iced tea because everybody drinks hot tea here and in Japan, obviously. Hot tea is the thing. And nobody really wanted iced tea. It was a very hot day. So he said, well, why don't I try and look at finding some cold tea, but do it in a nice way. And so he came up with this idea of bubble tea, where it shakes it with ice and it becomes frothy. And now they add tapioca balls in it. It's a strange mixture, but it works. Trust me.
Well, I tell you what. Hold that thought. We'll be back with a little more. Andy Marsack. He's in Taiwan for the Lantern Festival. We'll talk and have a few more minutes with him after the Box Tops and the Letter, which is on the way next.
BBC Radio.
Short and sweet and nice. Half hour of power is coming very soon, and of course, the midnight moment is along. 0345 303 3333 if you want a romantic dedication. But of course, a little more now from Andy Marsack, who is in Taiwan. We were hearing Andy. Now, a lot of culture, a lot of beautiful things going on in a hugely interesting country. A lot of life, a lot of vibrant people there. Mm. In terms of getting to it and going around, it's the first time you've been there. I imagine, do you have to fly into mainland China and then hop over to Taiwan? How does it work sort of getting around there these days?
Yeah, good question. There are different ways to get here, particularly from Europe. You know, you could get Air China direct. But from the UK, the best one, which is what I did, you get a Cathay Pacific flight, which really goes to Hong Kong. And you just do a... It's a long trek to Hong Kong, and then it's a little flip for an hour and 15 minutes over to Taiwan. So that's probably the best way. And, you know, there's loads and loads. I think there's a flight a day, a flight an hour from Hong Kong to Taiwan. And obviously, Hong Kong's a very popular route. So why not do a little two center drop, you know, have a look at the sights and sounds of Hong Kong and then come over to Taiwan for a few days.
There's something I've China. I've got friends of mine who went and they travelled in China and they taught English in China, as lots of people do these days. The one thing I've never really got to the bottom of is in terms of value for money. And so let's say, you know, eating out. And you know, I imagine the street food is amazing where you find it. I imagine they've got lots of top-level restaurants as well because, you know, is it quite affluent in parts? I would imagine it is.
There are parts of it, but I was really surprised, Russ, you know, the street food, for instance. I've been to some Eastern countries or Southeast Asian countries, you know, where the cleanliness is a lot to be desired, let's put it that way. And I've been really impressed here. It's been very, very clean. The street food, tremendous. You know, they wash everything. It's really nice. So very cheap. I think particularly when you look at the exchange currency,
right.
You know, the new Taiwan is something like, I think it's 28 to the pound, something like that. So you get very good value. And the street food is dirt cheap. Average price, I would say, is not a lot, really.
Okay.
Typical restaurant, you could probably get away with a nice meal for about a tenner each. Very nice.
Wow.
And the old tea eggs. I don't know if you ever came across those.
Tea eggs?
That's tea egg, yeah. You know, they do these boiled eggs where they just they cook them slowly for quite a long time, but they put some spices in underneath in the water, so the spices permeate into the egg itself.
Oh, and, wow.
Delicious. Yeah, delicious.
Do you know what?
And a bit of pineapple cake goes down quite well, too.
I can
so
imagine.
They like their sweets. They do like their sweets.
So, I mean, it sounds like it's a fabulous place, a fabulous adventure. I mean, the time has beaten us for this week, Andy, but I'm sure you've got lots of good photos you managed to take.
I've got a few. Yeah, I'll put them on the website. How's that? I'll put them on
the Facebook page. Yeah, put them on the Facebook page. I would love to see them there, but it's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, Andy, and enjoy the rest of your time in Taiwan.
All right, well done, everyone, for getting it. Good one.
Yes, we managed it. Thanks to Andy Marsack, then. Wow, Taiwan. He was in the Seychelles, wasn't he, last week? That's the kind of life you want, isn't it? Where will he be next time? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But there will be clues.